Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by GoToWebinar, a trusted webinar platform with over 55,000 customers who've hosted over 2.7 million interactive web events to connect with their audiences. For more, visit GoToWebinar.com/podcast. And by Eero, never think about Wi-Fi again with Eero's hyper-fast, super-simple Wi-Fi system. And now the second generation Eero is tri-band and twice as fast. For free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada, visit Eero.com, select overnight shipping at checkout, and enter the code NSS. Savers. Now, this is for Saturday, December 23rd, 2017. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Day after tomorrow is Christmas. I think there are a few of you who are desperately, and as we get closer and closer to the holiday, desperately looking for something great to buy the geek in your life. Fortunately, for the last few weeks on the new Screensavers, we've been putting together some great holiday gift guides. Everything from VR games with Sam Moshkovich, PC hardware with Ryan Shrout, Tim Stevens. We even talked about cars with Tim Stevens. We've asked them for their picks for the perfect gift for the geek in your life or for you. Cameras, PC gear, Android phones, tech for kids, video games. Without further ado, we present for you all together for your delectation our holiday gift guides. All right.
All right.
Very first, you let's, get the pride of... Wait a minute.
Step into Christmas.
We're having a Christmas tree issue here. Let's move that one
over. Oh, yeah, these Christmas trees are just a little too
dominated.
Give me
the poinsettia.
Yeah.
Move that over.
Okay.
Jason Howell, host of All About Android, tries and uses every Android...
Here, let me...
Your balls got loose there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah, there's glitter everywhere.
There we go. All right, cool.
You try all the Android phones, and we
try a lot of them.
There are people, you know, if you're an iPhone user, it's really not a difficult choice. You know, you've got a limited thing. But in the Android space, there is almost an infinite variety. So let's start. Let's take a look at some Android phones.
So holiday gift guide for the holidays, 2 months away. You may not believe it, but it's true. Right around the corner, really. You're going to blink and it's going to be here.
Wait a minute. Here comes the holiday gift guide music. It means it's time once again.
I forgot about that. That's awesome. Okay. So I thought I would kind of go low, mid, premium tier for the most part, and then a little bit of a surprise.
That actually is the good thing about Android is you can get an Android phone down to $200 and get a pretty decent phone.
I mean, you can go even less than that, and we will on one of the phones that we're going to talk about today. But we're going to start kind of in the low end. And what do I consider low end? Probably kind of what you're talking about, right? Like $250, right around that area.
If I looked at these phones and I didn't know what they were, I wouldn't know which the cheap one is.
Isn't that weird? Because I feel like not very long ago, all the distinct tiers were very obvious when you looked at them. You'd see a cheap phone and be like, ugh, that just doesn't look good. Now they all have, you know, this is kind of low to high here. They've all got really nice front-facing glass. Everything's kind of rounded.
Got the curved glass, the rounded corners.
Yeah, got the curved glass.
The back
glass
is
rounded.
Nice.
And, you know, there was a time when not every phone was done with aluminum and metal materials, and now you're getting that on the low-end devices.
Now, one phone we don't have here, I wish we did, is the Motorola.
So, and that I said would be my pick for low end.
Yeah.
It's the Moto G5 Plus.
Really nice.
$229. Metal body, plastic frame around the edge, but it's done. I mean, I remember Miriam Jouar brought this in All About Android and iPod at the phone for a little while, and I was struck by how premium it felt, especially considering the price category. Snapdragon 625, 1080p LCD display, very nice camera, 12 megapixel f1.7.
And you like the images that you...
Yeah, it actually did a really great job. It's actually a similar camera to what you find in the Galaxy S7, but without all of that image processing. Some of the low-light stuff, I expected to be a little bit better than it actually was for 1.7, but still, for this price category, if you're low-end and you want great pictures, I would probably say this.
This is a Lenovo company now. Google sold them to the Chinese company Lenovo. But the Chicago team that made the Motorola X is still in place and is still designing these phones, right? So I think these are still have a lot of the spirit of the Moto X, which means a very clean Android with some nice Motorola extensions. I'm really continue to like these phones. I think they're very good phones. And $229.
And I believe you can even get that less if you get it through Amazon as a Prime subscriber and get lock screen ads. You can get that down to like $170 or something.
And Motorola has been very good about keeping them up to date, right? The Google security patches.
Yeah, they've done actually they've done surprisingly well. I think a lot of people expected it to be horrible, and they've done a reasonable job keeping things
updated. That's pretty important. I mean, we aren't going to really mention it, but in general, you don't want to buy an Android phone that's not going to get updated. That's critical.
It's such a hard thing to know. I mean, you know, sometimes even past behavior isn't a good indicator of what you're going to get out of your phone. That's just the challenge of Android. I don't know if this is necessarily a runner-up, but it's a phone in this category that I've been playing around with that I've been reasonably happy with. It's the Asus Zenfone 4 Max, which is $200.
That's a great price.
5.5-inch IPS display, Snapdragon 430, 3 gigs of RAM, a dual 13-megapixel rear-facing camera. Now, you're not going to get portrait mode out of that. The dual gives you regular and wide angle. But the reason for Max in the name is that this has a 5,000 milliamp hour battery.
That's huge.
So if instead, you know, maybe the Moto G5 Plus is if camera is important to you, maybe think about this one if the battery is really important.
The battery life
has been phenomenal on this thing. I hardly ever have to charge it. And I've been using it for probably about 5 days now.
You know, what really we're seeing is this would have been a flagship phone 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But the features of a flagship phone from a couple of years ago are now migrating into the low-end phones. And you know what? 2 years, that's not a big deal.
Nah.
It's got a decent camera, but not great. Is that...
Yeah, I would say. I would say the pictures are reasonable. I like having the wide-angle option. You know, I really like to have that extra feature.
I'll tell you what.
Feature.
Battery life might win overall.
That's
amazing.
You know what you don't get? USB-C. It's really weird going back to USB.
I miss that.
Standard USB.
USB. And it looks like, is there a headphone jack on the other side?
There is headphone jack.
And the Motorola has a headphone jack, too.
Yeah. Okay, so, but there you go.
Some of these phones do not. In fact, this next phone...
That's the Asus Zenfone 4 Max. Okay, so mid-range.
Yeah.
I feel like my recommendation here has changed very, very recently. If you remember Essential.
Because of me. I changed your mind on this one.
Essential phone, if you remember, was a little overpriced considering what you got. The camera had issues, and that is actually right here.
They recently
dropped the price of this.
Yeah,
they dropped it down $200 less.
It's what, $500 now?
So now it's at around $500 for the Essential phone.
And I'm happy to say they fixed the camera issues. So it doesn't crash. The camera does a great job.
Yep.
The only negative, I really love the feel of this in the hand. Doesn't it feel good in the hand?
Yeah, I mean, so much of this phone, I feel like the big selling point, in my opinion, is the design, right? The premium materials, ceramic, titanium, it feels tight and compact. Of course, the trade-off for that is that it's not at all repairable. It's all sealed and glued, and if that doesn't bother you, then great. But I mean, you've got Snapdragon 835 processor in here, 4 gigs of RAM.
It is a flagship.
It's flagship level.
Specs.
And at 500, it used to be 700. Now it's 500. Dropped into the mid range, and I think
headphone jack
makes it a big sell.
That's a negative. It does have a bezel-less screen. It has that notch. Apple's going to make the notch be all the rage.
Yeah, Apple's going all in
Android
on the notch.
Android isn't as bad with the
notch,
because your Android notification bar usually doesn't have anything in the middle there. So
it's not the end of the
world.
And not to mention, you have the ability
to I'm not sure that is a selling point, but this is a 360-degree camera that just attaches magnetically to the back of it and then communicates wirelessly with the phone. The image quality wasn't super good.
Nah.
But that's also reduced in price.
Well, now you get this for free if you buy it at the 500.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of desperate to make this phone.
Yeah, I know. It's right. What a reversal there. I could actually recommend it now. It's actually a really great phone.
I like this phone. Father Robert's inheriting it, and I think it's a surprisingly good phone now that they fixed the camera flaws.
Runner-up, OnePlus 5.
Also a great phone.
Throughout the year, and it's held strong. It's been a great phone in this category.
Good battery life, too, right?
Yeah, excellent battery life, excellent pictures. This phone, if I remember correctly, takes great low-light pictures. It has the portrait mode because it has the dual cameras. It has 2x optical zoom, which I love to get out of my dual camera setups. Snapdragon 835, 6 gigs of RAM. So you got a lot of RAM in there, 64 gigs of storage. GSM only. So if that is a problem, you know, keep that in mind here in the U.S.
Not ideal for Sprinter Verizon.
Right, exactly. 3,300 milliamp hour battery. I love the OnePlus 5. I think you get either one of these in this category and you win.
Some criticisms of their Oxygen OS because of its
that's right.
snooping features, although they say they're going to make it possible to disable those.
Yep.
That didn't bother me too much, but it's something to be aware of.
A lot of the phones are doing that.
Everybody's snooping
on you. Catch them doing it or not.
Everybody's snooping.
But that's really good. Okay, so then we're left.
So that's our mid-range.
That's our mid-range.
Now this is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah,
because there's some really good choices at the
high end. And before the past week had happened, I would have assumed that the Pixel, you know, would be right up there, but. It turns out I've spent the last month with a Galaxy Note 8.
I love it, too.
And boy, I gotta say, this is an amazing phone.
Yeah.
It's really, I know that a phone is really good because I use a lot of phones. I'm sure the same with you. When I can never get around to pulling my SIM out of it and put it in something else.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I don't, because usually with a phone, I hit my point. I'm like, all right, done with that. SIM out, put it back into my phone. This one, I never wanted to take it out.
The best screen of any phone on the market, easily.
Yeah.
Absolutely one of the best, if not the best, cameras. Amazing photography.
I love the pictures on this phone.
The only negative, and it does have a headphone jack, which I'm very glad
this year.
The only negative is the positioning of the fingerprint reader, to the point where every once in a while the camera will say, you know, you'll get better pictures if you clean off my lens.
Because the fingerprint reader
is right next to the lens and feels the same, and it's just bad placement.
And because the Note is so tall, and you hold usually a phone with the bottom half of the phone, when you want to reach that fingerprint reader, you got to do some gymnastics with your fingers in order to hit it, and then you end up tapping the camera instead. Horrible placement. I have to imagine they're going to change that, because also I have here the S8 Plus, and again, it had the placement.
They had a chance to fix it, and they didn't.
They didn't this year. I think they're probably going to do it next year. But you know what? I have iris on both these, iris scanning.
Do you use the iris?
Yes,
scanning?
And that works most of the time for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And when it doesn't, I'm just reaching for that fingerprint.
I don't use the S Pen. Are you an S Pen kind of guy?
No, you know I'm not.
No, I don't either. But
yet I still like the phone.
If you like handwriting, if you like drawing, it is a great. You know, it's the only, really one of the few. I think there's one other phone with a stylus. It's definitely the best, you know, stylus phone. I'm not crazy about the 2:1 aspect ratio. That's so tall.
It's tall. I guess I've gotten used to it because I think at first it felt a little stretched out. Yeah. But you know, I'm a tall guy, so maybe it speaks to me.
Have you ever send sparkly messages?
I did that once with my kids. They
me
thought
too.
It was cool.
Just once.
Just once.
Yeah.
It gave me a reason to use the S Pen, let's say. And then I would say runner-up, depending on how all this stuff happens with the Pixel. It's really hard to recommend the Pixel 2 XL or the Pixel 2 at this point, considering what we know. But it is Google's flagship. It's close to what Google's working towards. There's some value there. The update aspects of the Pixel is always a big selling point.
It's the most secure and will always be the most secure Android phone.
Yeah, but it's really hard to say, without a doubt, this is the one to get, which is very different from any other year for me, because I'm super close to Google. And this is
You have to wait until they fix this screen issue.
Yep.
I convinced they will. There's no way they can continue to sell this phone for a year if they don't. So either it's a Note 7 level disaster or Google fixes it.
Yeah.
And my prediction is they'll fix it. They've got the money to fix it. They're going to find a way to fix it. And when they do, this will be easily the Android phone again, I think.
Yeah. And then I thought I'd do a stocking stuffer. Because
you have another phone,
easy.
Where have you been hiding it?
Hidden down in the sleigh.
It's in the sleigh.
Ho, ho, ho. It's the jelly phone.
Wait a minute. That's a joke. You're joking now. This is a phone smaller than your thumb.
Oh, hey, there's some text messages. Maybe I'll keep the.
So you've been using it?
I used this for a while, actually. I felt ridiculous anytime I took a phone call on it.
Put it next to your head. Hello? Hello?
Has a little Zoolander vibe to it, right? Hello?
But it's tiny and it's cheap, right?
Yeah, it's $125. So $125.
Android.
This is the Jelly compared to the Note 8, by the way. You could almost put two of them in there, and two you know,
and
tall and, and to the side. That's crazy. So it's a 4G phone, 125, quad core, 1.1 gigahertz MediaTek processor. This thing is not a crunching, you know, hardcore performance beast by any stretch. But it's a curiosity, and it'll fit in a stocking. 950 milliamp hour battery.
Kid, this is a great first phone for a kid.
Totally,
the good price.
I think honestly, and I said this in my review a few weeks back on this show. I feel like it's a good kind of like Android media player that happens to also take calls because you can load any music software on here.
Musical sound, the
and same. It has a micro SD card slot, so you can store all of your library on there if you want.
Headphone jack.
It does have a headphone jack.
Okay,
yeah, right up there. So yeah,
what's
you know, it's a curiosity.
Average.
I mean, it's 950 milliamp hour battery. So I think on a phone this size, you're not using it the way you use other ones.
Right.
Even though it's capable of it,
right,
you're not. So it probably stretches farther than you might expect, right, but it's still not that great.
The Jelly phone.
The Jelly phone.
$125.
Jelly Pro 4G.
I think for an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12, maybe that would be a great phone.
Totally. Hey, my kids, when they find this laying around the house, they play
size
phone with it. Yeah. It's as close to a phone that they're going to get anytime soon.
Daddy's pretend phone.
Yes.
The Jelly phone. Well, there's some good phones here. And I have to say, this is what is really great, is that the top-of-the-line flagship features are migrating down now.
Yeah.
And you can, for under $200, or maybe around $200, get a very, very capable phone. And that'll last you years.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because it's interesting over the years to watch the trends trickle down. I'm curious to know when this like bezel-less approach will trickle down. Is that still a few years out?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's that long. The only problem is, of course, limited, and this is Google's problem right now, is a limited supply of OLED screens. And, only Samsung and LG make them.
Yeah.
LG doesn't make them as good as Samsung does.
Right.
But LG is building a new fifth-generation factory that's going to bring a bunch of more screens online. I think the demand's there. The companies are going to build the factories. You're going to see more of them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, and I like OLED. I really do like OLED
screens.
Yeah,
I do, too.
Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek and editor of avsforum.com. Now is the time for holiday shopping. And if you're looking for audio-video equipment, I've got some suggestions for you, especially if you're interested in the greatest value or bang for the buck. Let's start with TVs. My favorite bang for the buck TV is from Vizio. It's their top-of-the-line P-series, and it comes in three sizes: 55, 65, and 75 inches. Now, I suggest getting the largest TV that you can fit in your room and that you can afford. And these Vizios are quite affordable. The 55-inch is only $1,000. And it has all the bells and whistles. It has high dynamic range, 4K resolution, of course, and not only high dynamic range HDR10, which is the sort of default format, but also Dolby Vision, which is becoming more and more important. The 65-inch is $1,700, but on Vizio's website, you can pick it up for $1,550. The 75-inch is pretty expensive at $3,500, but if you can afford that and you can go that big, man, you will be seriously impressed. Now, most of you know that the sound coming from a TV is pretty bad. It is almost universally unacceptable, in my opinion. So I recommend at the minimum that you get a sound bar to go with it. And here again, Vizio really comes through with bang for the buck. They have several different sizes depending on the size of your TV. I'm recommending in particular the SB3621, which is a 2.1 system that is two front channels and a subwoofer, a separate wireless subwoofer, for $150. Quite amazing, actually, and really surprisingly good sound. Now, if you wanted to spend an extra $100 and go $250, you could get the SB3651, which gives you also the surround speakers, actual surround speakers, wireless, that go behind you or to the sides and give you a true surround experience. And that's only, again, $250. Both of them are let you cast audio to them as well. They're what's Vizio called SmartCast, which is, it includes Chromecast built in. So next up the chain, if you want to be a little more sophisticated, you might want to shop for an audio video receiver. My favorites are from Denon. And the one that I've picked for bang for the buck is the AVR S730H, which lists for $479. It's a 7.2 channel receiver, which means you can put seven speakers around you and up to two subwoofers. Or you can also do Dolby Atmos immersive audio, which puts five speakers around you and two speakers overhead. And that gives you a truly three-dimensional sound field that is really quite remarkable. You could also get the Sony STR-DN1080. That's a little more expensive at $600, but it also gives you this 7.2 or 5.1.2, five channels plus two channels above for Atmos. And it uses Google Cast. CNET called it a better sounding receiver, but it's a little more expensive. So next, I want to tell you about UHD Blu-ray players. This is the new disc format, Ultra HD. And the one I recommend is the Sony UBP-X800, which sells for $200. And it has excellent upscaling. It does not do Dolby Vision, which is one drawback. But for $200, I can hardly complain. If you can spend $550, my very favorite Ultra HD Blu-ray player is the Oppo UDP-203. It's pretty expensive, but it does absolutely everything except streaming. Now, for streaming, I recommend the Apple TV 4K. This is their brand new streamer, which lists for $179 for 32 gigabytes or $199 for 64 gigabytes of storage. And it's really, really good. It does HDR, high dynamic range in HDR10 and Dolby Vision. The main problem with it is that it doesn't automatically switch to whatever the content is, 24 frames per second, 60 frames per second, standard dynamic range, high dynamic range. This is a real problem, which is being addressed in the next version of the operating system, tvOS 11.2. But I really like the Apple TV. All of its content is from the iTunes Store, and it's at a flat rate, so you can get the highest quality that your TV can handle without having to spend extra money. Fantastic deal there. So that's it for me. If you want to read more about what I'm doing, you can go to avsforum.com. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody. Hope you're enjoying this special edition of the new Screensavers, your holiday gift guide. I hope you come up with some great holiday gift ideas, too. I've got one for you if you have a business and you want to reach out to customers, or you're looking for prospects, or maybe you're a teacher who has some great stuff to pass on. Go to webinar. It's the best way to hold an online seminar or webinar. That's what they call it. GoToWebinar is so good. No wonder it's been used by 55,000 people to do more than 2.7 million interactive web events, 60 million views a year. Let me tell you why you want to use GoToWebinar. First, it's very easy for you. Easy for you as the presenter to set up the webinar. You can use their email templates. You can create a very lovely email invitations with your company's logo, your custom image, and you do it very quickly. You can even do it on your phone, simple as can be. You can create and schedule both pre-recorded webinars that are as interactive as live events, or do it live, record it, and then save it for later, because people, maybe they can't meet your schedule, so they want to watch it later, but they're just as interactive. And part of the reason for the interactivity, one of the things that GoToWebinar does so well, is their polls. You can have up to 20 polls, each with 20 questions per webinar. That means you can see how engaged your audience is. You can see if they're understanding. You could collect information. You could find out more about them. I can go on and on and on. These polls are really the key to what makes GoToWebinar so great. As I said, you can do everything on the phone, on iOS or Android, schedule a webinar, edit a session. Yes, you can edit or track your performance. They have great stats, lots of information about what's going on. Reporting and analytics will help you get qualified leads, get metrics, and maybe even most importantly, get the information you need to make the next webinar even better. Up to 6 presenters, or one presenter and more panelists. You can present face-to-face, but you and the panelists can also share your screens or share an application. Number one in customer satisfaction, the next time you need to present, do it online. Do it with GoToWebinar. GoToWebinar.com/podcast for more information. That's GoToWebinar.com/podcast with that GoToWebinar for making our holiday specials possible. Now, back to the buying guides. Today, Father Robert and I are going to share some tips because we both travel a lot.
We
spend a lot of time traveling.
I'm in planes and in cars pretty much probably half of my life.
And I love to travel. And so both of us went to our back catalogs.
We did. Have you noticed we do tend to have a big warehouse of stuff?
Yeah. Well, mine's not that big.
Okay, this is unfair. Anthony told me to bring in a bag. A bag, not a basket.
This is my travel basket.
So you go through TSA with that?
Yeah, no. But there are things in here everything in here I've gone through TSA with. They're all safe. Do you want to start or shall I start?
Why don't you kick it off?
Well, I'll start with something simple. How about that? A cable. How about that? So these actually go together. One of the things that's important for me is keeping all my stuff charged.
Of course.
And I have tried a variety of devices. This is a, you probably have something similar. This comes from iClever. They do a lot of interesting things.
This
is called their boost strip. So you have one plug. This, of course, you'll put an adapter on. Not a transformer, because almost all my stuff handles all voltage, 110 and 220, 240. But you will put that, an adapter to plug into the one socket that you have. Many hotel rooms, that's all you get. And it gives you 3 more sockets, US-style sockets. And I really like this with an on-off switch. I don't know why, but I feel like that's a nice feature. And then there are 4 high-power USB ports. Again, they have their own on and off switch as well. The ports are a total of 25 watts divided among 4. So you could have, say, for instance, charge, an iPad if you plugged in one. And then instead of bringing different cables
these
for
are
different
important.
Things.
These are important.
I have these. I love these. These are, I think Andy Anako recommended them. They're Nomad cables. They're very good braided cables. They have a 5-year warranty. I like braided cables. They don't tangle as easily. They're tough. But this one cable has all 3 of the major connectors you need.
I like that.
So it starts, of course, with a micro USB. I still have a few things that need micro USB. But you could put on top of it either a Type-C or a Lightning charger. And this is MFI compatible, so it means that you could use it on all to charge. And if you use all 25 watts off of this, you could quick charge your iPhone 10, your iPhone 8, or your iPad with this. And so having the right cable, what you need is 4 of these so that you're ready for all occasions. And this iClever power, I have the prices here. I should just give it to you. It's $19 for their boost strip portable. These aren't cheap cables, these universal cables. They start about $30.
Well, you can buy a $30 cable or you could buy
$5 cables.
Yeah, exactly. So, your call.
My experience with Apple cables is they're not very good.
These fall apart.
Yeah, this is a Type A USB, so it's mostly for charging. It's not so much for. But yeah, I guess you could connect it to a Type A USB laptop and do the syncing thing.
By the way, that is a great way to make friends when traveling. If you're ever in an airport and you
plug
notice
this
that
in.
Everyone is delayed,
plug this
you
in.
Plug that in and everyone wants to be your friend.
Yeah, keep this in your carry-on because that is actually very, very useful. Yeah. All right, your turn.
All right, well, let's stay with the power theme. What do I have power-wise? Okay, I got this. Same idea.
Yeah.
I want to travel, but I want to keep everything charged up, so I brought this. Now this,
I love Anker stuff, and I actually have a bunch of these.
Yeah, this is the Anker. This is a premium 60-watt wall charger, so it's AC in on one side. Of course, it'll do 110, 220, if you do your international standard. But on the other side, I've started making the switch to USB-C.
Mm-hmm.
So my laptop, my phone, they're all USB-C. This will do 60 watts either through the C port or through any of these. So this will fast charge your tablets.
Wow.
Yeah, 60 watts for this tiny little thing. Unlike yours, it doesn't have additional AC plugs, so I can't share it that way. But I wanted something small and something that would be able to charge this. Now, this we've seen before. This is also an Anker product. This is their Power Core. I love this thing.
Oh.
The 26800. Now, the nice thing about this is it takes like 30 hours to charge this from the
Because it's how many watts?
It's
milliamp hours.
26,800. Yeah, it's got a lot of power in there. So this will charge your MacBook. It will charge your laptop.
All the way
it
up.
Charge all the way up multiple times.
Yeah.
And you combine these two.
That's a
this
nice
will fast charge this.
Yeah.
And then this can fast charge all your devices when you're on the go. Now the wall charger is going to be about $50. The power cord, depending on where you get it and whether or not you want another adapter with it, is going to be between $60 and $80. But this is with me all the time. I mean, they're a little bit roughed up now because they've traveled around the world with me. But I don't need anything else. This is all my power needs.
Let's talk about once we get on the plane.
All right.
Yeah. Gotta listen to music. I hate to hear babies cry. This is my kit. All right. This is my audio kit. Now, of course, many of you are going to use your iPhone for music. But I don't like to deplete my phone. So this is like an iPod. It actually is a high-res audio player. I'll take the rubber sleeve off. It's kind of pretty. We reviewed this some time ago. It's the Fio, F-I-I-O. And this is one of the reasons you have a micro USB charger. But this will go about 15, 20 hours. This will go in a long intercontinental flight. And then I end up with my phone fully charged because I haven't been draining it listening to music. But what do you plug into it? Well, it's got a headphone jack, so that's a nice start. A lot of people love the noise-canceling headphones. I don't bring those big Bose Quiet Comforts with me. They're too big. But these are the QC30s. These are the over-the-ear. They go in the ear. And they have active noise cancellation. This is from Bose. These are about $300. They're not cheap. You have to charge this up also. And once you turn it on, it's going to have active noise cancellation. Notice I've always got my special lightning adapter. You got to have that for your iPhones. But this is another thing the kit's really great for. It has all the other weird adapters, too. You know, like those strange two-prong adapters you find on some older planes, things like that. So there's nothing I can't use these headphones with. And I even bring with me replacements for the ear filters and so forth. Because, to be honest, I don't like noise-canceling headphones as much as in-ear monitors that seal the ear. These are Edemotic. And frankly, this is my headphone.
Oh, Edemotics are fantastic.
These are the ER4XP. They're kind of the top of the line. These are fairly expensive, I think $300 or $400. But very, very good audio quality. And you don't have to worry about noise in the plane with these because they go so deep in your ear canal that you can't hear anything. The problem with noise-canceling headphones is they actually don't work against intermittent noises like babies crying. They only work against jet noise and continuous noise. So if there's a crying baby, you got to have your Edemotics here. So this is my sound kit. There's a whole variety of Edemotics. You can even use them, and as I do, as a wired headphones for your phone, so you can use it as a speakerphone. And they even have, I like this, if you go to the bottom there, a kid's version that limits how loud they can go. Those are only $45.
That's actually really important.
Isn't that nice?
I used to think that was a gimmick, but it makes sense because you can damage your kid's ears very
easily. I have tinnitus. My ears ring 24/7. And it's because when I was a kid, I listened to really loud. I loved loud rock and roll music. Don't let your kids do that. It's very bad for them.
Yeah.
So that's my audio kit, all of that stuff.
Now, I didn't want to bring in just my audio kit because I've used the Audio-Technica ANC9s for a while. They're over the ear.
I have those, too. They're also noise-canceling. They're very nice.
I like them just because the earbud, for me,
If I'm
on a 12-hour flight, the earbuds will just start irritating
me. On the
other
hand, with earbuds, if you're sleeping, you can sleep on a pillow.
True.
You can't with big headphones on.
Yeah, I kind of do this thing where I surround myself, so I'm just kind of pushed back into the seat. So that's. But my objective when I get into a plane is to be annoying. and so I brought something that would help me do that with this.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. I just bought this.
Okay, so, you know,
I haven't set it up yet.
Some people might say, hey, you know, I want to watch a movie on my laptop. No, I'm going to watch it on the roof of the plane.
This is a portable projector.
This is a portable projector, and it is actually quite amazing. This is called the Mars Nebula. It's by Anker. It's a co-op between that battery company and Mars.
It's not cheap. $600.
$600, but it's the equivalent of 3,000 lumen.
Notice, by the way, it's on.
Yep.
But it's not plugged in.
No.
It's a big old battery. It's one of the reasons it's heavy.
Three-hour battery. It will do 1280 by 800, but it will scale down larger resolutions. It's a 19,500 milliamp hour battery. So, again, that's 3 hours. Wireless connectivity. So it's 2.4 and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth 4.0, which also means that I can do things like airplaying to it or
Netflix.
Casting to it. Yeah. It has apps. You can use Netflix on this. It is Android. Weighs less than 5 pounds and has a remote. However, Leo, if you want to be truly annoying.
The plane ceiling is a little curved. Yeah, it's a little curved. I really wish we had a screen with
it. Oh, so, you know, I like to do stuff like this. So, you know,
How big is that screen?
So, 26 inches. This is a 3M projector screen. I've had this thing for a couple of
years.
You don't
really get on a plane, unload this, set the projector up, and watch a movie.
Oh,
do you
don't know. It could be. But, I mean, this thing is pretty amazing.
Let's see.
And, you know, of course, we've got studio lighting on right now. But
that's 3,000 lumens, you said?
3,000 lumens.
That's very bright.
Yeah, it's very, very bright. It will do auto skew. So, if you start tilting, this actually figures out.
Wow. Did you see that? It went from keystone to straight.
Yep. So it keystones itself, depending on how it's tilted. And, if you've ever used Android TV, that's what this is using. And altogether, this gives you a very nice way to get a 26-inch high-definition monitor anywhere you go.
Another thing that'll make you popular at AirSports, just take over the yoga room.
No.
And say, it's movie time.
In SFO, they now have the pet relaxation room.
Pet?
Pet relaxation. Pet? Yes.
For pets.
Mm-hmm.
I need a relaxed pet. So once you get to your destination, there are a number of things you're going to want to do. Wait a minute. Before we get off the plane, I should mention this is the Kindle.
Yes.
And I do like it that you can now read your Kindle even while the plane is taking off. For a long time, a Kindle was kind of a nutty ID. This is the newest Kindle, the Kindle Oasis. It's not cheap. $250, 300 DPI. Oops, I turned it off and on again. Look how thin it is, how light it is. The battery is in this wedge at the side. I would say the left-hand side, except you can have it on either side you want. It rotates.
I have forgotten how nice e-ink is.
E-ink is so crisp. Now, I made the text pretty big so you can see it. They've also really improved the page turn on the Kindles. This is the fastest Kindle. And remember how the Kindle used to have that weird flicker when you turned pages? Not anymore. It is really easy.
They've got that tech down.
It has physical buttons, but it also has a smart screen, so you can go back and forth. And this new Oasis has one other little cool feature. It supports Audible books. So it has enough memory. I got the 32-gig version.
No.
That's a lot of books, 32-gig. You really wouldn't need that for just books. But I also have Audible Library on here. Now, here's the negative. I was actually quite disappointed, and I'll show you.
That's got to kill the battery.
It doesn't. The battery life is remarkable because it is a fairly big battery. This will go weeks, not days. And if you turn off the Wi-Fi, even longer. I haven't charged this thing in quite some time. But let me go to my library and I'll show you. You can see not only all of your books, but you can see all your Audible books as well. But the negative is you don't have a headphone jack. So it's only Bluetooth, which means you can pair it to Bluetooth speakers. That Fugu that you have.
I love that Fugu.
I love that. Yeah. I could pair it to that, and then I can listen, not on an airplane. And the one reason I really thought this was going to be cool, Amazon has immersive reading technology where you're reading the text of a book and listening to it at the same time, and it's like karaoke. It highlights the text. I really was looking forward to that. Unfortunately, this doesn't, unaccountably, frankly, this doesn't support it. So you either listen and you're in the Audible interface or you're reading. You can't do both. I figure that's a firmware upgrade that Amazon could make. Amazon, I want to urge you to make this really a high recommendation.
That's just software. They can fix that.
It needs the immersive reading capability. Then I'd be very excited. But this is the new Oasis. It is easily the best Kindle ever. And if you're still a Kindle user, especially if you have Kindle Unlimited, which means you have hundreds of books you can listen to, more than that, for free or for a flat fee. This is really a great way to read. I turn the light down fairly low, and I can read in bed without bothering my wife at all as I'm reading in bed. So I like having a Kindle with me.
Yeah, I took to reading back on a tablet again.
It's harder on the eyes.
It is much harder.
This you can read. I mean, it's just really...
You can read in the sun. You can be at the beach.
Yeah.
You just pull it out, and
I forgot to mention, you can be at the beach because this is the first waterproof Kindle.
Can I read underwater?
You can read in the tub.
Well,
not in the tub.
Okay, near the tub.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to. Yeah, I wouldn't read underwater.
I had that problem with that uh, the uh, the Google Watch that I inherited from you.
Yeah.
Water resistant is a very subjective term.
Yeah, resistant doesn't mean impermeable. Mm. Anyway, that's still on the airplane, but we'll get off the airplane in a second. Do you have anything else for the airplane?
No, you know, I think that that's about as annoying as I can get on an airplane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you annoy me in the hotel room?
I can probably annoy you.
Do you have anything else? Do you run out?
No, I've got a couple stuff.
Oh, shoot, I thought I won.
Although, because I mean,
I am not even close.
They did tell me, they said, look, bring like three or four things. So, but I should have Leo-ized it. Ah, jeez. Okay, now one of the things that bothers a lot of people, especially on the newer notebooks, my new Spin 7 from Acer or a MacBook, is the fact that you typically have one, maybe two USB-C ports. That can be a problem if you're traveling. So what I thought is maybe we should show off a couple of portable docks.
Docks are great.
I love docks. And these are two of my favorite. One of them is from OWC, so mm-hmm. it's a big Mac company. And this one is from Anker. Now, the whole idea about this is I take a single USB-C connection, and it gives me everything I might need to replicate. So on the OWC, I'm going to have 60-watt pass-through, this one right here. This is going to have 60-watt pass-through, so I put my USB-C charger there, and I can charge as I'm using the functions of the dock. It's got a card reader. It's got two USB 3.0 ports. And then it's got HDMI 2.0.
See, this solves a big problem because the Macintosh just doesn't have enough.
It doesn't, right.
And so this solves that
problem. Yeah, and hanging dongle after dongle after dongle, that's not cool. This will give you everything in one spot. Now, this is about $50. This is a fantastic
product. That's not bad.
No.
A card reader, a good USB-C, type 3 card reader would cost you that much. That's a good price.
And what I really like about this is it will work on Mac. It will work on PC. So it's standards-based. Now, I also have this Anker, because sometimes I want all those functions, but I also want this.
Ethernet.
This is big for me. Ethernet.
Yeah.
I mourn the loss of Ethernet off of modern notebooks.
Yeah.
So this does all the same things. 60-watt pass-through. It's got an SD card reader. It's got HDMI 2.0. It's got two USB 3.0 ports. But the addition of that Ethernet port means that's one less thing that I have to have
that's
in
nice.
My bag.
Yep.
This will go for about $70. Super simple devices. And the other advantage of this is this will also work on Chromebooks. I haven't been able to get the OWC to work on a Chromebook.
Interesting.
Yet. Driver issue.
How about Windows machines?
Windows, PC, okay. Chromebook, no problem.
Okay. Chromebook is the issue. I've shown this before. I love this for just kind of keeping your wires.
Ah, yes.
This is the gridded, and it really is great. These are little rubbery. And so it is a single sheet that's kind of stiffed. See, this one even has a zipper pouch. And then you slide the wires and cables. You see I have Ethernet, I have cables, and so forth. One thing I have in here, though, is a must-have as you travel. And this is a tiny hardware firewall. This is the newest tiny hardware.
I love
We've
those.
Talked about this
yes.
before, right? This comes from Wi-Fi Consulting, a Washington, D.C.-based VPN. They do hotspot VPN. And that's really the only negative on the hardware firewalls you get from them. We've talked about this before. You could make your own or buy them from another company that would let you choose VPNs. But this you have to use either their hotspot VPN or this one uses their Black Cloud VPN, which is cool because it's a Docker, I think, container-based VPN. You're the only user on the VPN, so you get very good throughput. What I like about this one is this appears as an Ethernet, a USB Ethernet adapter. So almost everything supports an Ethernet adapter via USB. That's all you need is a driver. It has two Wi-Fi radios built in. So you'll plug this into your laptop, connect the Wi-Fi radio to the Wi-Fi access point in your hotel or the coffee shop. If it's one of those captive portals, it has a little workaround that lets you use a captive portal. It can spoof a MAC address. So you'll join the captive portal on your laptop and then sign out, effectively signing in, and then assign your MAC address to this device. And so most captive portals will think you've already logged in and let you use the tiny hardware firewall on the captive portal. But it also has a second radio in there, so you can power it. You could even plug this into one of those big batteries you have to power it, and you can use their Wi-Fi in and Wi-Fi out and make this an access point as well.
That becomes my portable router.
Exactly.
I love that.
So it's a router. Yeah. You can turn on the VPN or not, by the way. You can just use it in router mode. And it also has Tor built in. So if you really want anonymity, you could have VPN, Tor, and yes, ad blocking. It's kind of like a mini pie hole as well.
What I like about this is when you showed it to me last time we were on TNSS, we tested the speed. And it really doesn't seem to be the bottleneck.
It's pretty good.
It's actually it's really good.
Let's put it this way. All VPNs slow you down a little bit, but it's usable. And that's, I think that's credit to the black hole firewall. Should I do a couple more things?
Oh, gosh, yes. Let's
this
keep it
one
going.
Is really important. It's simple, though. It's not high tech. It's for weighing your luggage.
Oh.
Now, there's a lot of these. OMG Chad gave me this.
I'm serious about that. Is worth its weight in gold.
It is, because nowadays... Nowadays,
they charge you.
Charge you. And if you go over 50 pounds, so, you know, the airline's going to charge you $35 or more. Some airlines, even your carry-on has to be to weight. So this measures in both kilograms and pounds, and it's very easy. You just put the... Yeah, there you go. This is one of them. There are many of these. $10. You put the luggage handle on there. You hold it, and it will weigh the luggage. Here, just hold on, and I'll weigh you. No. I don't think it'll take that much.
As I go through the table. here's the thing. This is not just a way to avoid fees. This is a way for you to avoid that embarrassing moment where you're in an international airport opening up your luggage to transfer items.
Exactly.
That is horrible. Don't do that, folks. Just carry this.
And I should be wearing my Scotty vest, because that's the trick in that case, is you have one of the Scotty vests with 27 pockets, and you just take stuff out of your luggage. Don't let them see you do that. And you load it up, you got a 40-pound vest on.
I've gotten to the point where I'm like walking like this because I've got all my heavy items.
But then when you get to the conveyor belt, you put it on the conveyor belt, and they never complain. I don't know why. They ought to. It's crazy. More? Do you have something?
Well, you know what? We both have this.
Oh,
we both
have
like
this. Yours is in the package.
Mine's in the package because I've got a couple of these. These Joby Gorilla Pods.
Love them.
It's not just for cameras. I will hang lights off of this. I will use it for the projector. I use the magnetic attachment all the time.
Yeah, these feet are magnetic.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of these things where you don't think about it until it becomes incredibly useful. And the ability to hang anything pretty much anywhere makes it something that you absolutely want in your travel kit.
Now, this is a standard thread for a tripod, but you can also get a little, you've got it in here, the little clamp that lets you, we should mention Joby is a sponsor. I forgot about that. Yeah. We've been using these since long before Joby, but this clamp lets you use any smartphone, as you can see with this, and they have different sizes. This is perfect for this Yi action cam.
I like these.
Yi is interesting. It's a Chinese company that is basically competing with GoPro, but they're much less expensive. This is a 4K camera. It starts at $70. You can go more expensive, of course, but it's both stills, very wide angle, like a GoPro. Ever since Jerry rode over my GoPro with a truck, I had to get this. And I'm actually very happy. And I guess if you're bringing the Yi, you should also have a selfie stick.
Oh, this I like.
You got to have a selfie stick. This is actually a ridiculously expensive selfie stick because it has a Bluetooth trigger. It goes out very far. It has a standard threading and all that stuff. So this is more than... You know, this is more than an average selfie stick. This is like, you know, you can buy
I kind of want it weighted a bit more so
this
you
is,
could,
feel
you
that.
Could use it as an asp.
You could hit people with that. Yeah, you could.
Which you do. This is why they're banned from, like, the Louvre. They don't want you smacking into people. But, you know, Leo, this is kind of nice. But what I was hoping you would have in your bag is maybe something that could help me steady my shots as I'm moving.
Oh, I do have something you could steady your shots. This is great. Now, I don't know if I'll always bring this. But if you know that you're going to be doing video on your travels, this is fantastic. From the DJI folks, it's called the Osmo. It's a gimbal. It's a rechargeable gimbal. You put your phone in that clamp there, and it supports iPhones, Android phones. It doesn't really matter. The only key with putting your phone in is not to do it that way. You have to put it so that the camera is not blocked.
Right.
Okay.
I don't do this tech thing, Leo.
With hard experience because I've shot stuff and there's what's that big black I put it in wrong.
Got it.
But it balances very quickly. And one of the problems with gimbals is most gimbals you spend a lot of time adjusting and balancing.
Right.
This one works very, very easily, very simply. Let me make sure it's in here. I don't want to drop beautiful phone.
There you go.
There we go. We tighten it down. All right, and I'll turn it on. And it has lots of nice controls. You're familiar with the Osmo.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. So it will hold the camera steady, but you can also aim it.
You can direct it.
Direct it. You can lock it in place and then move around, and it will keep it fixed on
this
somewhere.
This is the coolest thing to take on a vacation if you want to do a lot of video.
Yeah, you have
you
to know
the gliding
that
shots.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. It's not cheap either, $300. But it's the best gimbal I've ever had. It's the easiest to use. And unfortunately, it does have proprietary charging. So when you use this Kindle, you got to remember to do what I didn't do. I got a second battery, but I forgot to bring the cable. You got to bring your cable because it's a proprietary connector.
With USB-C providing so much power these days, everything's got to go to that.
Well, I don't know why anyone would make anything that's not USB-C these days. But this is really, I've tried a lot of gimbals. This is easily the easiest one, the best one to use. I've been able to have people use this with about 5 minutes of training, which is nice. It's got all the buttons you need right where you want them to be. The trigger locks it into place. You can steer it, go up and down. It's really a fantastic gimbal from DJI. Same technology as in their Phantom, but it's a handheld gimbal.
Yeah, they basically just took the gimbal off the quadcopter, put a handle on it.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
The quadcopter's quite good.
Now, Leo, I did want to give a couple of lower price sort of practical items because this is sort of, you know, we've been doing a lot of geeky stuff. Not everyone's going to be carrying around a $600 projector and a $100 screen or, you know, a firewall. However, everyone is going to be at some point in a hotel or an unfamiliar home, and you're going to want to get things onto the TV. Now, you could bring a bunch of cables, or if you're in my environment,
you bring this with you.
I've got a Chromecast.
So smart.
I've also got the Windows equivalent. So I've got two devices that will wirelessly allow me to push anything from my phone or my laptop to any HDMI device. And, you know, these have become so inexpensive over the last couple of years that it doesn't make sense not to have one of these in your kit. What I consider the companion to that is, and you've seen me use these before, I now have like 30 of these things. These are the Kingston USB-C Duos. And again,
very handy.
I've started switching over to USB-C. So on one side, I've got USB 3.0, and on the other side, it's USB-C. And what that means is that this one device will plug into my phone, it will plug into my laptop, it will plug into that projector.
It supports USB to go.
To go, right,
nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are perfect companions. I can have a single drive that has all of my media. I can play it on my laptop, I can play it on my desktop, I can play it through the Chromecast, or I can push it to the projector. So, you know, this is sort of like a, you know, definitely have it in the back of the bag type items. And not expensive. These go anywhere from $15 up to about $30 if you want to go between 32 and 64 gigs.
Should I do one or two more?
Yeah,
are you done?
I'm done. Let's throw out some more, though, Leo. Come on.
Okay. It's hard to choose. I have so many. All right.
It's got to go to the
Because of our last segment, I think this is actually a very important thing.
Oh, yes.
This is called the SteriPen. And this is kind of an amazing device. And actually, I did not put this in the rundown, but this is something that every traveler should have with them. You can use this to sterilize water. So if you're in a country where you don't trust the drinking water, or you're on a hike and you want to drink some pond scum, this thing will, this is a UV, it's not a filter, it's a UV sterilizer. It has a pretty clear instructions. I'm not going to do it right now because I don't want to blind anybody. But you put this in the water, you stir it around, it takes about a minute, and that will kill all microorganisms in the water and make it safe to drink. And I know many people, it's really most useful if you're going to a country where you're not sure if the water's safe.
Yep.
And there are a lot of places where you go where you could drink bottled water. But if you can't get bottled water, it's really nice to have the ability to sterilize that water. So,
and I know these work 100% because
you do.
A few years back on KnowHow, we tested a UVC phone sterilizer, and we thought it was kind of a gimmick.
Right.
But then we actually did
really
bacterial culture.
Yeah.
And 100% made an incredible difference.
And this will do up to a liter at a time. So if you have a liter bottle, you could put this in here and stir it. And you stir for a period, you know, period of time, and everything will be clean. And that's really a very handy thing to do if you're traveling.
You do travel the places where
occasionally, you know, there are countries where you know it's $89.95. Actually, want to thank a listener who sent me this because I was talking about this. I'll tell you how it came up. I was talking with Johnny Jett, who, and a number of people said this: said don't drink hot beverages on an airplane. Because they don't necessarily clean the containers. There have been known breakouts of diseases from coffee and tea on an airplane. That water is not boiling when they're making the coffee and tea. And the water on the airplane is stored in, you know,
tanks that
are not necessarily that clean. So we were talking about this, and somebody said, well, whenever I'm on an airplane, if I'm going to drink hot beverages, I bring my SteriPen, and I sterilize the water. SteriPen Traveler. It's very, you see, it's compact. It comes with a little carrying case, uses standard batteries, easy to replace. That is a nice thing to have if you're going somewhere exotic or just on an airplane.
Now, Leo, we didn't go too crazy. We didn't have anything that was ridiculous. But I will have to say, you know, I think you win this round.
I don't know. That Nebula projector and the screen, I think the screen...
Well, the screen's just crazy.
Well, seriously, let's call this one a tie.
The next time you go to a family reunion and you do that... Yeah, you just put this
down. That's pretty special.
That's a special moment.
There are a lot of things that we frequent flyers carry with us on our travels. I hope you found something interesting. Any of these would be a great gift. And there's a pretty big range from $20 to $600 of things that you can use. So I hope you enjoyed our holiday gift guide. But we're not done.
No.
We're not done because Tim Stevens, as you know, he's quite the car fanatic. He works over at CNET, and we asked him on the roadshow, and we asked him if he could give us his top picks. Now, this would be a great gift for vehicles. Watch.
I'm Tim Stevens, editor-in-chief of Roadshow by CNET, and if you have someone special in your life and you're looking to put a new set of wheels for them this holiday season, here are six choices in different categories that I think would be a good pick. We'll start with the EV category. If you want something emissions-free, my pick would be the Chevrolet Bolt. Starting at about $37,000, you can actually get it for just about $30,000 with the federal rebate. And depending on what state you live in, you can actually save even a couple $1,000s more. This is a great EV because it's just a really nice, practical family car. Seats five comfortably, has plenty of room for cargo in the back, and you can get well over 200 miles of range on a single charge. It's rated for 238 miles, and I've done even more than that on one charge. That's pretty impressive. I know what you're probably wondering. What about the Tesla Model 3? Well, I think you would have had to be a really, really good boy or girl to find one of those this year because they are still in very limited production. And they're really hard to find. If you want something more in a family sedan, my pick there would be the 2018 Honda Accord, which is just coming to market now. Starting at about $23,000, Honda has a couple of new turbocharged engines, with the base being a 1.5-liter turbo paired with the CVT. That'll do 38 miles per gallon on the highway. Doesn't have the most power, but Honda has made the new Accord a lot more engaging to drive. It's the most fun-to-drive family sedan on the market. It's good to have a little bit of fun when you're taking the kids to school in the morning. If you need some more cargo space, my recommendation there would be the Ford F-150. Now, the current segment of trucks that we see is really competitive, and frankly, they're all really good. But if you're looking for technology and a good blend of both fuel economy and also cargo capacity, my pick there would be the F-150, starting at about $27,000. But you can go way, way, way up from there if you add on all the different sorts of technology that's available, things like adaptive cruise and keyless entry and all the other goodies that you might want. But again, all those are available in the F-150, and some of the competition like the Silverado is still lacking a lot of that stuff. Do you want something a little bit more luxurious on the SUV side, let's say? My pick there would be the Volvo XC90. This is a big, luxurious, comfortable SUV, a three-row SUV. It doesn't have the most engaging driving dynamics. It's not the quickest SUV out there, but it is one of the most comfortable, with a beautiful, sumptuous interior and all sorts of technology to keep you safe and to keep you connected with both Android Auto and Apple CarPlay available inside. If you want something sportier, my choice is the Ford Mustang Shelby GT350R. This is not the quickest sports car in the world, and at $62,000, it's more than twice the cost of the base Mustang. But that 5.2-liter V8 flat plane crank engine sounds absolutely incredible. And if you can get it to the track, I guarantee you are going to have an incredible time. It looks really good in yellow, too. But finally, if you've got somebody in your life that was really good and you've got that Wall Street bonus check that you're about ready to cash, the only choice is the Bugatti Chiron. This car has 1,500 horsepower. It'll do more than 260 miles an hour, and all the while to keep you comfortable in one of the most incredible interiors on the market. The cost there? A mere $3 million. Worth absolutely every penny. That's it. Those are my top six picks for cars for this holiday season. We've got full reviews of all those at Roadshow. Check us out over at theroadshow.com. Thanks very much.
This is Charlie Hall, senior reporter with Polygon. And I'm here to talk to you guys today about my picks for the best games for each of the platforms out there right now. We got your Xbox One, we got your PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. So let's take it from the top here. If you're getting a gift for somebody that owns a PlayStation 4, it's hard not to recommend Destiny 2. Now, Destiny 2 is the latest action-adventure, online, multiplayer circus from the folks over at Bungie, and it's a bunch of fun. It's also available on PC now and on the Xbox One, but the reason I'm recommending it on PlayStation is just because there's more players on PlayStation 4. There, I said it. Destiny 2 is a social game. You're going to need a nerd Sherpa to carry you through the game if you're new to the series. There's a lot of complexity, a lot hidden from view, and it plays best with other people. So why not play it where the most people are? And right now, that's PlayStation 4. The PC experience, though, is available at very high resolutions, very smooth frame rates, and also a very healthy population on Xbox One and the PC. So great options, really, for all of the different platforms, but PlayStation 4 in particular.
This is great. Anyone want a hug? No hugs.
If you're getting an Xbox One in particular, if you're getting a gift for someone with an Xbox One X, which actually has 4K support, true 4K support, they call it, I'm going to recommend Assassin's Creed Origins. This is, gosh, a storied franchise from the folks at Ubisoft, but this one takes it back to its quote-unquote roots, right? This is the origination of the assassins themselves. And it's a classic sword and sandals tale told in ancient Egypt. They've recreated a huge swath of that country. There's Roman legionaries, Julius Caesar, Cleopatra. It is a lavish game, and in particular, on the Xbox One X, it's going to look tremendous at those higher resolutions and those improved frame rates. It's a solid pick if you're buying for somebody with an Xbox One, or again, with that upgraded Xbox One X. I recently just got a Nintendo Switch, and so if you're a big spender and you know somebody who doesn't have a Nintendo Switch, gosh, get them one. Do them a favor. If they are flying anywhere or traveling anywhere in the near future, it's a tremendous asset to have. I put myself to sleep very nicely on a cross-country flight thanks to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's a fantastic game. I highly recommend it. There is also a new Mario game out. It's called Super Mario Odyssey. It's a departure from the series. It's more of a puzzle game than ever before. It's all about Mario in this land with a magical hat. And he can throw it onto items, onto people, onto a Tyrannosaurus Rex and become them. And the gameplay is changing really at every turn. It is delightful. It is enjoyable for all ages. And again, because it's on the Switch, it's really easy to travel with. Now, if you're buying for somebody with a PC, the new hotness right now is called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's absolutely taken the PC gaming world by storm, and it's from a new genre, or a genre that may be new to you and the person you're buying for. It's called the Battle Royale genre. Now, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is developed and designed by a guy named Brendan PlayerUnknown Green, and I've known him for years now, but he's been working at this Battle Royale genre through, I think this is the third or fourth iteration of it. It started as an Arma 3 mod, and Arma 2 mod, actually, I believe, and then an Arma 3 mod. Then it morphed into a mode within the H1Z1 game, and later became H1Z1 King of the Kill, but now he's out on his own. He's with a Korean company called Bluehole. They've spun off the project as a new company called PUBG Inc. And PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, also called PUBG, is just a pulse-pounding arena multiplayer game where 100 players drop into a map, and it's the last one standing that comes away with the points and with the loot. It's a lot of fun, and it's not a lot of money. I think you can get it right now on Steam for about $30. So those are my recommendations for games for all of the different platforms. Again, to recap, PlayStation 4, can't say enough about Destiny 2, and it's a great population there. Xbox One or Xbox One X, I'd recommend Assassin's Creed Origins. Nintendo Switch, got to go with Super Mario Odyssey, or my personal favorite, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And on PC, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And hey, if you're looking at hardware for anybody on your list, I'm actually working on a big review right now of headsets, gaming headsets. I've got right here one from Plantronics. This is called The Rig. This is the Rig 800LX. I've also got one here from Astro Headsets. This is the Astro A20. Not everybody has a fantastic 5.1 or 7.1 stereo system, and positional audio is such a big part of games these days, especially multiplayer games. Can't say enough about a good surround sound headset. And they're really plug and play. Lots of good options. We'll have a feature story, a review of a bunch of different models coming to Polygon.com before Black Friday. So again, Charlie Hall, senior reporter at Polygon. Thanks for the time.
Hey guys, Ryan Schraub from This Week in Computer Hardware with some holiday picks for you on the PC side and for gamers and enthusiasts alike, right? We've got a lot of stuff sitting out here in front of me, so I'll run through it all pretty quick. First of all, a lot of this is going to be high-end gear. It's kind of a high-end holiday season in my house here as we look to upgrade graphics cards and look at new processors and platforms. We have the EVGA GeForce GTX 1070 Ti. This is their SC edition. The 1070 Ti is interesting as it was a card released by NVIDIA to compete against AMD's RX Vega products, and it offers near GTX 1080 levels of performance, but for like $50 to $100 less. And as of today, as we record this, pricing is all relatively stable. You can find these for $469 or so on Newegg or Amazon. Also, from the storage side, we can't leave out Alan's new favorite as well. We have the Intel Optane SSD. This is the Intel Optane SSD 900P. It's available in a 280 or 480 gig capacity. The fastest stuff you'll ever use. It's also pretty pricey at $599 for the 480 gig capacity. So you're paying a lot for it. It's maybe twice as fast or twice as pricey as some of the other NVMe drives, but in terms of performance, cannot beat it. For people who are gamers, you're always on the go, or you're either trying to replace batteries on mice, Logitech came out with a new cool technology called Power Play, and they have two mice that support it, the G903 and the G703. And what's interesting about these mice is they get paired with this mouse pad that is actually a wireless charger. So as you're mousing, gaming, or it's just sitting there idle, underneath the actual surface is kind of a coil charging system. So it's a wireless charging system. This plugs into your computer or any USB outlet, I guess, that can supply power. And then your mouse is both wireless connectivity and wirelessly powered. It's actually pretty impressive stuff. The power pad itself, the mouse pad, is pretty sizable. So even if you're a high-end gamer enthusiast, I think you'll find enough of room on that mouse pad. It's about $99 for the Power Play mat itself. And then you can choose either a $90 or $130 mouse to go along with it that gets you the wireless charging capability. For those of you who are looking to upgrade your full systems, you could look at, I'm still impressed by AMD's Threadripper processors. You know, they are expensive. The Threadripper 1950X is just under $1,000, $969 as I looked at it today. But you're going to get 16 cores, 32 threads of performance, quad channel memory, support for 60 lanes of PCI Express for add-in cards, either whether it be Optane drives or additional graphics cards. A lot of performance capability there, and the first true competitor to Intel's high-end market segments as well. And one last thing that I had to include, because I am a Star Wars geek, I am wearing one of those shirts. If you have a Star Wars fan on your list and they are high-end gamers, you can look at what NVIDIA has released, these Titan XP graphics card special editions that happen to be either labeled as the Jedi Order or the Galactic Empire. They come in these cool display cases, but obviously if you're gaming, you're going to want to take them out of there. And you get to see essentially graphics cards that are modeled after lightsaber hilts. So this one is supposed to look like Darth Vader's lightsaber. These are $1,200. Again, super expensive graphics cards, but that is the same price as the Titan XP normally. So you're not paying any premium for that at the very least. So that is, they just called the Titan XP Collector's Edition. It's available only at NVIDIA.com, actually, for that high-end PC gamer who is also a high-end Star Wars lover as well. So this is a lot of good gear, I think, for people who are interested in PC hardware and enthusiast tech. Check us out on This Week in Computer Hardware at twit.tv/Twitch. I'm Ryan Schraub, guys. Thanks. See you next time.
I'll tell you, you want to know my buying guide? If you've got Wi-Fi, you need Eero. Eero solved my Wi-Fi woes. This portion of the new screensaver is brought to you by Eero. Eero is an amazing Wi-Fi solution. Not just a router, It's a complete, super simple Wi-Fi system that ends the buffering, ends the hesitation, ends the Wi-Fi woes that we've all experienced. We're doing more now with Wi-Fi than ever before. I have more than 60 devices connected to my Eero's at home. 60. A router would have just been overwhelmed by that. But Eero, with the Eero base station and the two beacons, handles it flawlessly. Eero's constantly checking to see how it's going, changing the way it's routing to make sure you get best performance, quality of service. Plus, Eero has features no router has, automatic updates. When the crack problem came out, remember, with Wi-Fi a couple of months ago, Eero was able to patch within 24 hours. Every Eero customer was protected in less than a day. Automatically, you didn't have to do anything. It just happened. They are constantly pushing out updates and improvements, constantly making Eero better, like the new Eero Plus, which I use and I love. First of all, with Eero, you can assign every device in your house to a person. So Michael, our son, our 14-year-old, actually he's 15 now, you know, he likes to game, but sometimes he'll stay up a little later than he should, like all night on a school night. So 10 p.m., I have Michael's phone, Michael's tablet, Michael's computer. They go offline. We still can go online, but his system can't. I can even, if he's being a bad boy, I can even say, hey, Echo, pause Michael's Wi-Fi. And it stops. It's so great. You should hear the screams of horror. It's very satisfying. We're all protected, though. He's got Eero filtering to keep him away from adult sites and gambling and illegal sites. But we all have protection against malware and phishing scams. That's part of Eero Plus, too. It is a really great Wi-Fi system. I like it so much. When the new ones came out, which these are tri-band, they have two 5 gigahertz radios and a 2.4 gigahertz radio. Plus, they're about twice as fast as the originals. I upgraded because I loved it so much, and I gave my old Eero's to my mom. She's loving it. She's got a great Eero setup. And I can, with the same app, monitor her network and my network. So if she calls, she's back east and says, I have a problem, I can check her internet. I can see what's going on. I can say, oh, yeah, Mom, one of your Eero's is down. You might want to move it. Or it's just fantastic. Eero.com. They started, I think they were the first consumer mesh system, early 2016. And since then, they have learned from all their customers, and they've gotten better and better and better. More speed, more range, an elegant design. And the new Thread radios in Eero make it easy to connect to low-power devices like locks and doorbells and other sensors. Eero, it is the best. I want you to try Eero right now. Go to Eero.com. We're going to give you free overnight shipping in the U.S. or Canada. Just go to Eero.com, buy what you need at checkout. Check that box that says overnight shipping. In the promo code, put NSS for new screensavers, NSS, and it will zero out the cost. And I love that. Eero, Eero.com. We thank them so much for their support of the new screensavers and of this year's buying guide. Back to the buying suggestions. Hey, guess what? Potatoes are done. Isn't that cool? Can you hear that?
I can hear it.
That's the magic sound that the June oven makes when potatoes are done. You know, I brought everything except I forgot one thing.
Your muffs for your hands?
Yeah, I forgot pot holders. But look how nice those look. And that, I did not do anything but say, these are potatoes. Cook them however you would for roasted potatoes. They've got a nice crust. They're delicious. That's the June oven. And I was able to watch that. I can, in fact, if you want, I'll show you the instant replay of those potatoes cooking. They came out just great. Another alarm, by the way. It looks like our eggs are done in our mellow cooker. So let's talk a little bit about this. First, I'll start with the June oven. $1,400. It's an internet-connected oven that's actually running Android. In fact, if you look at the control screen on the front, it actually looks, it's about the size and shape of an Android phone, and it has a couple of interesting features. In fact, let me come back over here and show you. For one thing, if you put something in, as I did with the potatoes, you can tell that it has a camera, and it will say, that looks like it actually said potatoes or Brussels sprouts. You pick it, and then it will just cook it. But it also has built-in presets for a variety of foods, vegetables, seafood, poultry, meat, frozen foods, baked goods, toast, nuts, all kinds of baked goods. So you can go by that as well. The camera's usually pretty accurate, but it's nice to be able to take the presets. It'll even... Oh, our Echo just woke up. It'll even just work as a regular toaster oven where you could toast, broil, bake. It's a convection oven. It has a fan. And these are special heating coils.
Hello.
Hello. These are ceramic heating coils. And one of the nice things about ceramic heating coils, they preheat very quickly. They come to temperature very fast, and they cook very evenly. So I'm really, I know it's an expensive toaster oven, but I kind of love how well it cooks. Let's see, what else can I show you? You can do slow cooking. You can do roasting and baking. I can go through this menu, broiling, toasting. It does a great job of reheating pizza. You can put it on reheat. There's a keep warm. There's even a scale. Now, this is kind of wild. So the way that it knows what's in here is it has a camera and it has feet. It knows how much your meat weighs. It knows how much your potatoes weigh. It has special weighing feet. And so I've turned it into scale mode. You see, it's already zeroed out, even though the potatoes are on top of there. If I put the salt on there, it's going to tell me, oh, yeah, that is 6 ounces. Is that wild?
So it's good if you're, like, counting calories and, like, oh,
you
I
can
want
use it as a food scale. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would, but you could use it as a food scale. You'll see the Android heritage when you go into settings. It has a lot of kind of Android-style settings. It has a clock. You pair it to your Wi-Fi. You pair it to your phone. You can do set cooking from away from home on the Wi-Fi. I really, as expensive as it is for $1,400, I really think it's a nice oven. Let's just put a little salt on here.
Does it? That'll your be all right. If your Wi-Fi is not working, does
you can still use it. Absolutely. Everything works. You just don't get the connectivity. Now, here's something else I really like that's a little weird. It's a little expensive. This is a sous vide cooker called Mello. I've got two sous vides here. In fact, for most of the time, I use the Anova. It's inexpensive. It's about $130. What sous vide is, it's French for under vacuum. And what you're doing is you're slow cooking, very slow cooking foods in a water bath. So the fundamental item in a sous vide cooker is a recirculating pump that has a very accurate temperature sensor. These are common in labs. In fact, that's, I think, probably how it started, was some chemist somewhere said, you know, I could probably use this recirculating heater and cook my fish. But then chefs started using it in restaurants. If you think about a restaurant where you have to have 100 different cuts of meat, some medium, some well done, you have to have fish, you have to have... If you sous vide them ahead of time, they're fully cooked. They're fully cooked. This one is a salmon that's been sous viding exactly 115 degrees. That's very low temperature. It's not boiling. It's not even really that hot. I could stick my hand in here. But if it's time plus temperature, that means it's fully cooked. And actually, the temperature is going down now because I've stopped it because we're going to take it out in a second. And it's ready to eat. This is the Mello, which does something even more special. And I'll show you the Mello software on here. What Mello also has a scale in it. This is a plain old water bath. When you put something in the Mello, the scale senses there's weight and says, oh, I see you've put something in. What would you like to cook today? Let's say I wanted to cook something in the pork family, baby back ribs, pork belly, pork cheeks. I like to do pork chops. And what you do is you say how big they are. These are half-inch cut. And then you say how well you want it to cook, rare, medium rare. You don't have to really know anything about temperatures and times. You say cook. It's going to say when do you want it done. When you tell it when, right now it's not going to because I just finished the eggs. When you want it done. And what happens, so I'll give you an example. And this is one of the problems with sous vide. You have to be around to start it. And an hour or two later, you have to be around to cook it. Most people, you get home at 5 o'clock. You want to eat at 6. There's not enough time to sous vide.
You can't do it from home? I mean, from, like, work, from an app?
You can with the Mello. So here's what happens. In the morning, or actually the night, I say, I want soft-boiled eggs when I get up at 7. Now, I'm not going to get up at 5:30 so that I'll have eggs at 7. So what I do is I put the eggs in here. It says, oh, you want to make some eggs? What kind of eggs do you want to make? How do you want to make them? Creamy, velvety? What kind of yolks do you want? You tell it. And then it says, what time do you want to eat? And I say, 7 a.m. You put the eggs in. It's going to keep them cool. This Mello is different from the Anova. The Mello cools and heats. So it's going to keep them cool. It keeps them down at 48 degrees, just like in your refrigerator, until an hour and a half, or whatever the cooking time is before, and then turns on and starts cooking. That is remarkable. Because it means you can put your steak in when you go to work, ignore it. You can check it, of course, from work. And if you decide to delay it, you can even do that via the Wi-Fi at work. But it'll be ready when you get home. So let me get these soft-boiled eggs out of here.
Because I think you're cooking vegetables in there.
Well,
you see that?
You could cook anything in here that you could sous vide. And that, of course, includes vegetables and meats. Normally, you're going to put them in little bags. And that's what we did with the salmon. I'll show you that in a second.
So these are done. And actually, they were done a few minutes ago, but this will keep it kind of cooking. And it gave me an alert. One of the things I love about all of these devices is they let you know what's going on. So the Mello actually gave me an alert and said, your food is done. Would you like to get it out? And then it says, last time we made soft poached eggs, how good were those? So it will ask you to rate them. And I'm not sure why, but my guess is it's slightly amending its recipes depending on your reactions. So that's kind of cool. So let's take these out and see. I chose the reason they call them poached is the whites are kind of runny and the yolk is very creamy. Really, sous vide-ing eggs is one of the great things in the world to do. So I'm going to take this egg out. This temperature was only, I think it was 135 degrees. Now I brought my childhood soft-boiled egg cup.
Oh, adorable.
Isn't that adorable? I grew up my whole life eating soft-boiled eggs on this cup. Let's just see.
Did it ever bother you that the chicken was upside down?
It's only upside down until you serve it upside down. You do this, and then you turn it over. Oh. Now, you could eat it out, and a lot of people do. In Britain, I've seen them do it, eating it out of the egg. But what I like to do is I like to get it out of the egg and put a little toast in there. Mm-hmm. But now, what's interesting is the yolk is creamy and custardy, and the white is a little bit runny, but I think it's going to be, I'm just going to scoop it out here, it's going to be the best tasting soft-boiled egg you've ever had in your life. And would you like a little salt and pepper
in there?
Oh,
yeah, a little salt. Oh, it's so velvety, just as promised.
Isn't it?
You see inside there?
It's kind of good. A little salt, you want a little pepper? And just let you taste that. So I actually do this a lot for breakfast. It seems like a kind of a trivial use of a sous vide device. Okay. These are perfectly food safe. Now, some people are going to say, well, if you don't get meat to 165 degrees or the egg to 160, you're not killing the bacteria. But you are, because it's not merely temperature, it's time. So because these are long cooking, this cooked for an hour and 20 minutes at 130 degrees, it's definitely food safe to eat it. So those are the eggs. But let's take the salmon out. Now, I will show you there's one problem. There's one big problem with sous vide-ing. It's fine for eggs, but when you're cooking meat or fish, there's no finish to it. Now, this salmon is perfectly cooked. You could eat it as it is. It's food safe. But you're going to see it looks kind of, well, underdone, right?
It doesn't look pretty.
It's not pretty. And that's because normal cooking methods also heat the outside. They kind of roast them a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we have ways to roast it. Now, I say at home, I didn't bring this in because it's a full-size grill. At home, I have a gas grill called a Solaire, and I love the Solaire. The Solaire is a big version of what I'm about to show you, which is called a Searsall.
Ooh.
So the Solaire is a gas grill, but instead of having the flames cook the meat or the fish, it actually heats ceramic elements, which get red, red hot, up to 1,000 degrees. It sears it very quickly. And frankly, that's what you really want. she's stepping back.
Should we have safety goggles?
No, what the heck. If I can remember how to use this, I don't think we'll have any problem. So I should show you. This is actually just the kind of plumber's braising torch. But it has a special attachment. That's the Searsall. And you see it has a metal screen. When I light the torch, you see that? The screen is going to get red hot.
Ah.
And that's how the Solaire grill works as well. It gets red hot, and then we can use it to very quickly, in effect, broil the fish. So I'm actually going to finish this. You could do this on a grill. You could do this with the Solaire, which is my preferred way to do it. Again, we're not cooking the fish here. We're just cooking the outside of the fish to give it a nice burnished kind of feel. And you can see this is quite hot. This is infrared heat that is now cooking it. And I would also do the backside of it. But it doesn't take very long. The Solaire is nice because you could do, of course, many patties or multiple steaks. And it still works as a regular grill to cook burgers and things like that. The Solaires range in price from tabletop Solaires for just a few $100 to the big cookout grill for up to $3,000. This Searsall is only about $75, and you can buy it and just one of those standard torch burnishing tools. You see how nicely roasted that's getting? It actually gives it a very nice finish. Now, if we weren't on TV right now, I'd probably do the other side because, of course, the skin you want nice and crisp and so forth. But you can see how easy that is to do.
Now you can put it on Instagram. Now it's Instagram
ready. Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go. The Mello. I think you can buy this right now at cookmelo.com for, is it $3.99? I believe it's $3.99. You'll save a lot of money if you go with Anova. This is the Wi-Fi. There's the Mellow. The Wi-Fi Anova has both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi one will let you do it from home or check it from home, and that's a little under $150. It's a better deal.
The Wi-Fi one is, it says $200.
$200? Okay.
And the Bluetooth is $150.
Yeah, and I got the Bluetooth on a Black Friday deal for $100. So actually, it was Prime Day. And by the way, I should point out this great book. We interviewed, and we've actually done sous vide on the show before, you may remember, with Kenji Lopez Alt. This is his book, The Food Lab. A great gift if you've got somebody in the family who's a cook. Lots of great pictures, lots of information about sous vide, but also the science of cooking. Kenji is an amazing guy. And if you didn't see our sous vide segment that we went and shot at his house last year, you might want to check that out. And this is another sous vide cookbook that actually the Mellow folks sent me, which I thought was pretty nice. I use my Mellow all the time, and I think it seems silly just soft-boiling eggs, but there's lots of things you can do with it. And, man, that's going to be the best salmon you've ever had, those roast potatoes. We're done. I'm done with my side of the cooking show.
Okay, well, you know what? We didn't try the meter. Should we see how hot it is inside
there?
Oh,
well, it's cooled off a little bit. All right, well, okay. I'll tell you what. Before we do that, let's flip it over.
Okay. Do you mind probing it?
I want to just cook the skin. See, okay. That, you don't want to serve that, do you?
No.
That doesn't look good, but... Oh, boy, it tastes good. Holy cow. That tastes really good. I'm just going to braise this a little bit. We'll be back after this word.
Okay, so can I use my thermometer?
Go ahead. Okay, so this is what? A Bluetooth thermometer?
Bluetooth.
It's got a great name. The meter. M-E-A-T.
I'm going to stick it in there.
E-R. There you go. That's
and
a medium rare salmon steak.
See what it's telling me. It's
going up 100. 101.
So we could have set it up and decided what, you know, to
102.
Set
it's gone up a little bit.
Fish.
It's cooled off a little bit. That's about right. It's cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, so we used this last night with the roast.
I use InstaRead thermometers all the time. You want to use that.
Right. I'm sorry I made a hole in your salmon.
That's all right. You're going to see all that delicious, buttery salmon flavor. So you could just stick that in anything and see what temperature
it is. Stick it in you. I won't.
All right. I won't do any more searsing.
Okay,
there you go.
So
now,
ready
what's
for
next?
Some beverages.
Yes,
Shall
I'm
we
ready
go
to drink.
Up first or down? Coffee or beer? Which do you want to do first?
Let's do the travel mug because I could use some coffee.
Okay,
right now.
This is from Ember. This is really, if you love coffee, this is what you need or what anyone on your gift list who loves coffee.
You have the travel mug, but I have the ceramic mug.
So, if you hate cold coffee as much as I do, then you need this because this will keep your coffee at whatever temperature you want it to keep. And you can see it's at 133 degrees.
Oh, that's cool.
What I like it, the way I like it.
But what's interesting is, so both of these have plates that you charge them with.
Yes.
Little pogo pins that charge the mug. But then the mug itself has the heater.
Right.
So you don't have to keep it on the saucer
to
keep things
warm. No, you take it to work. It has a two-hour battery.
So you can bring that in the car, which is
great. And then I have since. And then you just drink it and it's still...
That's delicious.
If your favorite temperature is 120 degrees, if your favorite temperature is 180 degrees, because what I hate also is drinking scalding coffee. And like you put it into the travel mug, you're driving the kids to school, and you take a sip, and it's like, it's too hot. So now I would know.
This doesn't cool it.
Well, yeah, it will cool it depending on what your temperature is.
Okay. The Ember, and the Ember travel mug, as you said, $150, the ceramic mug that I have. One of the Time Magazine best inventions of 2017.
Yeah, and that's ceramic. And if you really...
This is like a real coffee mug, which I kind of like.
And this is like a real travel coffee mug, but if you want to spend even more, if you already know someone with an Ember and they're on your gift list, you can buy a ceramic top for this.
I used this on Saturday, and it did keep my coffee warm. I had a little trouble pairing it. I don't know what was going on.
Oh, so I had no trouble.
It worked all right for you?
Yeah.
Bluetooth is always a little weird, right?
We should take a look at the app because it's a really nicely designed app. And when it reaches the temperature, it will notify you on your Apple Watch. Your coffee is the right temperature. So I have it at 133. I could make it higher or lower. And yeah, pairing it was, it also has lots of firmware updates.
I should mention that the Mellow and the June will also work with your Apple Watch to let you know your cooking is done.
You can also name your, mine was called Liquid Joy, but now I'm going to just call it Leo.
Named your mug. You know, coffee's nice, but every once in a while I'd prefer a beer.
You would?
Do you have anything for me?
I do. Okay, so this is physics.
The Way Tap.
This was my physics with an F. physics.
Fizz.
I love
it. So this claims that it can create the experience of draft beer. You put a bottle or a can in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like it's tapped using ultrasound, which sounds, I hate to say it, but what that sounds like to me is they agitate the beer with sound so it's fizzy.
Okay.
Is that what we're getting here?
Do you like tapped beer? You don't like it better on the bottle?
I'm not sure why I like beer on the tap. I usually think it's fresher.
Okay.
Is that why we like beer on tap?
Here's one straight from the
bottle. So this isn't
going to
make it any fresher. Yeah.
And then I open this up.
Yeah.
The physics.
You put that in the, you don't even pour it in. You just put it right on top. Let me come around and pour myself a frothy.
Okay.
Beverage. Should I just pour it, or do I have to push a button? Yeah,
you just like a tap. Oh, other way. Oh no, I guess.
That's the head.
That's the head.
That gives you head, and this gives you beer.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's everything you need in life. Okay.
I don't know.
It made a lot of fizz.
Yeah. Here, let me try to do it. Anthony gave me directions.
Now, I think the idea here is,
I've had a lot of practice with this, a lot more than you have, Claire.
That the head, you want a little head because that gives you the aromatics and the flavor.
Okay, well, you're going to...
I have a little bit more
taste
froth than this. Let's taste this. Oh, it's okay. I cannot pull a beer, somebody said. Okay. You don't get that beer mustache with the other
one.
Yes, it's definitely better. It's frothing it up. It's not chilling it. It's not doing anything but frothing it up using ultrasound. The physic way tap, and that's if you like frothy beer, you could just shake it up. But if you like frothy beer,
I don't think so.
$129.
You could just light that salmon on fire,
you know,
too.
Yeah, you could. You know, actually, I have to say, it does taste more like beer on tap. Anthony, you use this? You just used it the other day. All right. So it's not like something from your home. Because it seems like you would like this. Anthony is a connoisseur of fine beers.
Let's just say, Leo, all of these items, like when you have people over, you're going to impress them.
With my meter probe, my physics way tap, my Ember travel mug, my June oven, my Solair radiant grill, my Sears on torch attachment, my Anova precision cooker, and my Mellow sous vide. Mm-hmm. All of these can tie up the Wi-Fi in your house. Wow. Actually, I have to say, I wish the Mellow weren't so expensive, but I love this. I use this all the time. And I use our Anova all the time. And if you just want to try sous vide, that's what I'd recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're ready to graduate, and by the way, it's okay to have two, because you notice we had multiple dishes. You may want to do multiple sous vides. Did you really like that soft-boiled egg, or were you just pretending?
Oh, no, I really liked it. Let me take the meter out of it. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't want to, like, it's rude to eat on camera. I feel like you always invite me for the food shows. Why is that?
Because I know you like to eat.
I do.
You like? We like to eat together.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Twit fans? This is Sam Moskovich from Ars Technica, taking a break from my usual VR headsets to talk to you about the best games and experiences that came out in 2017 for VR. It's an interesting year to talk about VR because there weren't a bunch of exciting new pieces of hardware. We had some stuff from Windows Holographic, Windows Mixed Reality, that tried to lower the cost, but didn't really push the technological perspective. What that really means, at least for someone like me, is that the VR experiences are starting to settle. Fewer gimmicks and more really good ideas. So it's a good time to talk about some of the best games of the year. Luna comes from the studio Phenomena, whose staffers have made critically acclaimed games like Katamari Damacy and Journey. Luna follows those beloved footsteps with a touching story that plays out like a VR storybook. I think of it like a good Pixar film. You can hand this to a kid, and they'll instantly appreciate the cute cartoony animals and also the simple figure puzzles out with your hands kind of controls. That being said, if you're a grown-up, you will get in really deep with the emotions, the story, and the puzzles as well. So it really cuts across all ages and play styles to deliver something unique and touching. To the Top does a seemingly unthinkable in delivering exciting VR parkour that is also comfortable. You'll use your hands to crawl, bounce, and leap across giant obstacle courses, and you'll aim to get fast times to a finish line while also collecting hidden gems and other collectibles. It's as close as we currently have to VR Spider-Man. I love how the game instantly feels fast and thrilling, yet also has a bunch of surprising depth. Check it out. If you own a VR headset and love the Adult Swim series Rick and Morty, spend some schmeckles on virtual Rickality. This bizarre puzzle game is by no means the ultimate VR experience, but it is fun, immersive, and it delivers almost three TV episodes worth of content, Rick and Morty humor, complete with the show's whole voice cast. While we're on the subject, Rick and Morty fans should also pick up a little game called Accounting. It's short, but it's wacky, and it's free. If you like one, you'll love the other. VR systems are flooded with shooting games as of late, especially standstill and shoot arcade-style ones. But there's one I'd be crazy not to recommend. Doom VFR. You can guess what the F stands for. This slimmed-down version of the 2016 Doom reboot makes running, blasting, ripping, and tearing a total VR blast. It's also surprisingly comfortable in VR, which is good because this bloody demon-killing game is fast. As of this taping, I've only tested a preview version on a high-end PC, and I'm hoping it will run just as smoothly on PlayStation VR. But if you had told me 2 years ago that I would enjoy a Doom VR game and not get sick, I would have laughed at you. Now, I'm laughing in joy. To close out my list, I have a tie for best VR game of 2017, and these two games, polar opposites. The first is Gorn. This is a hilarious dive into visceral, over-the-top violence. The game feels like a combination of Russell Crowe and Gladiator and a Roadrunner versus Wile E. Coyote cartoon. You have to battle your way out of a Roman arena with bouncy hammers, Wolverine claws, and every melee weapon in between used to eviscerate your opponents. Sound effects, cartoony dismemberment, and other fine-tuned touches make this a memorable jump into M for Mature VR territory. Also, out of all of the games in this list, I would call this the most fun to play with a group of friends who are hanging out on a couch nearby and begging for their turn in VR. Just make sure not to wave your hands anywhere near the TV set. As you're using these sort of melee implements of death, you will almost certainly get close to smacking your own TV screen. Full disclosure, I totally did that. My other top pick for 2017 is called Static. This is a must-play for anyone who loves puzzle games. Players are stuck in a bizarre testing facility, a little bit like Portal, but not a ripoff. And your hands are trapped in a variety of puzzle boxes in this institute. You'll have to figure out how to free your hands, because they're sort of mapped to a PlayStation 4 controller, the DualShock 4. So all of the different buttons and joysticks in real life correspond to something in virtual reality. And the trick is, every single puzzle box does different things with the buttons. So your next puzzle might have the joystick do something totally different than the first puzzle, and on and on. I've just never seen anything quite like this in any puzzle game, let alone VR, in terms of having to learn on the fly and find compelling solutions to mind-bending puzzles. This learn-as-you-go game is coupled with wonderful VR tricks, incredible atmosphere, and the coolest of all, I'd say, a robust two-player mode where a friend can join you by using a smartphone. This one has an even different set of puzzles. I'd say it's a good year where this list can be so big that I've had to leave off some pretty cool games. There's From Other Suns, which is on Oculus, Dino Frontier on PlayStation VR, and Heart of the Emberstone for Oculus and Vive. If you're new to VR, I would suggest go over to ArsTechnica.com, where you can read my articles about the best VR games and experiences of the past few years, including stories on documentaries and other weird experiments. And you can follow me at SamRed on Twitter for anything else in terms of games, VR, and other crazy tech culture stuff. Thanks again. Have a good 2018.
If you're a parent, caregiver, aunt, uncle, neighbor, or anyone buying a gift for a kid this holiday season, listen up. Here are some ideas for gifts that will help you grow a geek. Let's start with the youngest of the youngsters, with the Parker Augmented Reality Bear for ages 3 to 6. I know what you're thinking, an AR teddy bear, that's ridiculous. But it's not. The teddy bear itself is just like the teddy bears you or I or kids growing up in the time of Theodore Roosevelt played with. But kids can play with it with the augmented reality optimized camera on your iPhone or iPad. Kids can give Parker a checkup and use the plush X-ray included to see the bear's insides. The play thermometer that comes with Parker also functions as a stylus to keep your toddler from wiping their peanut butter and jelly covered hands all over your brand new iPad Pro. Parker also helps teach empathy. When you care for Parker, the environment around becomes happier. It's a good way to teach kids how to use tech to care for others, which kids are going to need as soon as they start using Twitter or whatever equivalent cyberbullying tool someone has thought up by the time they get their own iPhones. Parker, the AR teddy bear, comes from Seedling, and it's available in the Apple Store, online or off. And hey, there are a lot of worse ways for kids to play doctor. Since Anki introduced its toy cars with smarts back in 2013, the company has been bringing joy to my kids and countless others with their products. Last year, they wowed our family with Cosmo, the little Pixar-like robot with an attitude. Cosmo learns your name and can play games with you, but you can also work on your coding skills to program Cosmo yourself. This year, Anki also released a new set of cars, these branded with the Fast and the Furious. The tracks, the cars, and the app have definitely improved since 2013, and my kids loved playing with them. These tracks are fun for any RC car enthusiasts, but even more so for fans of the movie. Unlike a lot of toys, the game is expandable, so the more you play, the more weapons you can earn. And like a toy train set, you can always add cars for future gifts or gift ideas for other members of your family who want to know what to get your kid.
Why's my car so slow?
For any Star Wars fans of any age on your list, you should consider Sphero's two new droids, R2-D2 or BB-9E, the newest droid from the Last Jedi movie. 2 years ago, Sphero released the BB-8 droid that you controlled with your iPhone and adapted as you played with it. The R2-D2 and BB-9 are similar with some new advancements. You can control either droid with the app on your phone, or you can let them patrol on their own. You can even watch the Star Wars movies with your drones for a very special viewing experience. The design of both droids is my favorite part of the toys, and to be honest, I would be happy to have them sitting quietly in the off position on my desk helping me work. There are many special touches, including the fact that they are scaled down to relative size to one another as the real droids are in the movies. Still, for $180 for R2 and $150 for BB-9, that's a lot to pay for a realistic desk ornament. So, if you're buying this for a kid, make sure it is a kid who loves app remote-controlled toys with smarts inside to wander around by themselves for further entertainment. And if you're willing to spend an extra $80, you might want to also invest in the Force Band, an authentic-looking wearable that lets you control the droids Jedi-style with a turn of your wrist. Next is a gift idea for babies, or rather parents of babies, because let's be honest, babies don't know the difference between a present and a box. But parents will appreciate this present, especially those among us who are perfectly fine handing over our most beloved cell phones and tablets in hopes that they might quiet our babies. The first thing those babies will do is put those phones right into their baby mouths. So you might want to make sure that that phone or iPad is clean. For that, we have phone soap, a little gadget that uses UV light to clean your smartphone or your iPad. So you can clean it off before you hand it over to your baby and then clean it off after it comes out of her mouth. Just put the phone or the tablet into the phone soap case and then close it. The light will turn on while it's cleaning and turn off when it's done. How do you know it's clean, you might ask? Padre and Brian did extensive tests on this gadget when it first came out and found that it removed all kinds of grime. Phone soap also lets you charge your phone while it's cleaning. Phone Soap XL fits iPads and even many other kinds of kids' toys that you might want to disinfect. And finally, here's a gift for families with kids who have tons of digital photos but nothing to do with them. A digital photo frame makes a great gift, and my favorite is called Photo Spring. I set mine up to sync with my iPhone, and then all the photos I take are displayed in the living room instead of being consigned to my pocket. If you don't want all your photos to go directly to the frame, you can pick and choose which photos to display and then send them with your phone. You can also set up Photo Spring so friends and family can send photos to the frame, which makes it a great gift for grandparents. Photo Spring offers 16 gigabytes of storage plus 4 hours of battery life, which I rarely use since it's usually plugged into the living room and on display. That is it for my gift guide. If you have any suggestions, you can send them to Megan at twit.tv. I am always open to testing new products. I am Megan Maroney, and I host iOS Today every Tuesday morning and Tech News Weekly every Thursday afternoon here on Twit.
Hi, I'm Dale Baskin from dpreview.com. The holidays are a time when a lot of people start thinking about cameras. In fact, it's a great time to buy a camera as a gift for a loved one. Or, let's be honest, probably for yourself. Whatever the case, we thought we'd share some of our favorite cameras to help you get started this holiday season. Let's start small. If you're looking for a pocketable point-and-shoot camera that you can take anywhere, there are a lot to choose from. One of our favorites is the Sony RX100 Mark V. If you're looking for a small camera that has all the features and performance you'd expect from a larger camera, this is the one. In addition to having an outstanding 20-megapixel sensor, the RX100 V includes an excellent lens and produces beautiful 4K video. And despite its small size, it includes a pop-up viewfinder. It's no surprise so many pros carry this around in their pockets. If you're looking for something more affordable, check out the Canon G9X Mark II. This small, slim camera easily slips in your pocket, so you're likely to have it with you all the time. It doesn't have as many of the fancy bells and whistles you'll find on the Sony, but it uses a similar 20-megapixel sensor, has a very intuitive touchscreen interface, and delivers photos with the beautiful colors we're used to seeing from Canon. If you're a parent, student, or hobby photographer and want a camera with interchangeable lenses but don't necessarily want to invest in an expensive pro-level body, there are some great options for you as well. One camera we really like is the Olympus OMD EM10 Mark III. Since it's built around the Micro Four Thirds system, it's very compact, and although it's only 16 megapixels, it delivers great images and video. One of its standout features is the built-in image stabilization system, which is so good it can make you believe your camera is mounted on a Steadicam. If you want a camera with a full-frame sensor, consider the Nikon D750. Despite being a couple years old, this is still one of our favorite cameras. Its 24-megapixel sensor provides enough resolution to print just about anything smaller than a billboard. It also has a great autofocus system that can recognize faces and track subjects through its optical viewfinder. The D750 is probably one of the best ways we can recommend to get into a full-frame system. Okay, pros, if you're looking for a top-end workhorse camera, there's great news. 2017 saw the release of several pro-oriented cameras, so it's a good time to move up from your previous camera. Two that we really like are the Sony A7 R3 and the Nikon D850. The A7 R3 is Sony's follow-up to its very impressive A7 R2, and its 42-megapixel sensor delivers enough detail for any application from landscapes to portraits. Landscape photographers will appreciate the camera's outstanding dynamic range, while portrait photographers will love its ability to quickly nail focus on a subject's eye. Since the A7 R3 is a mirrorless camera, it's possible to adapt most third-party lenses to work on it with a simple adapter. The Nikon D850 is a tour de force of camera design, boasting a 46-megapixel sensor and most of the tools any photographer might ever need. It shares the same autofocus system as Nikon's flagship D5, a camera costing twice as much, and its low native ISO value of 64 gives it class-leading dynamic range that rivals larger medium-format cameras. Basically, the D850 is a camera that can meet the needs of just about any photographer. Okay. We've been talking about fancy digital cameras, but what if you're the type of person who wants to be different? Well, we've got a suggestion for you too. Instant prints. Despite living in a digital age, instant prints are making a big comeback. Some of that's probably nostalgia, but there's something special about being able to take a photo of someone, then share the experience of watching it develop right in front of your eyes. We recommend using cameras based on the Fuji Instax system. There are a lot of them around, ranging from simple point-and-shoots to twin-lens reflex models. People will love it when you show up at a party and start sharing instant photos. Finally, what if money is no object? If that's the case, check out the Leica M10. The M10 is a digital rangefinder stripped back to the essentials. This isn't a camera you buy because it has the best specs. Those who use them know there's a certain magic to shooting with a Leica rangefinder. It's a different experience than shooting a camera with full auto everything. A bit more contemplative, perhaps, and to some degree a bit of an art in itself. But yeah, like most Leicas, it's going to cost you. If you're looking to get a camera this holiday season, we have a lot more information, including camera buying guides and product reviews on our website. Make sure to pay us a visit for the most in-depth information about cameras available online at dpreview.com.
That's it. I hope you got some great ideas. Do some shopping for yourself while you're out there shopping for the kids and family, too. I'm Leo Laporte. We do this show every Saturday. We love doing it. We love it that you watch. If you want to stop by and watch us live, 3 p.m. Now, we won't be back till after the holiday, after the New Year's Day. But 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC, Saturday afternoons. You can watch us live at twit.tv/live. And you can always go to twit.tv/NSS for on-demand episodes. In fact, if you haven't seen every one of the 136 screensavers we did before this, you can download them right there and watch it to your heart's content. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy New Year. Next week, it's our best of, some of the best segments from the previous year. And we'll be back live. Let me do some math. What is that? January 6th? January 7th? Something like that. I'll be here. I hope you will for the new screensavers. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye.